Michael Thomas shocked the NFL world with his day one return to New Orleans Saints training camp, and now he has the opportunity to change everything about the Saints' outlook going into 2022. We got all that and a little bit of Lagniappe for you on today's episode of Locked On Saints.
You are Locked On Saints, your daily New Orleans Saints podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is good, Houdat Nation and Houdat family? Welcome into this episode of Locked On Saints, your daily podcast covering the New Orleans Saints, part of Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Thanks so much, as always, for making Locked On Saints your first listen of the day every day. Don't forget that we're free and available on all podcast apps and on YouTube as well. And I'm your host, Ross Jackson, at Ross Jackson NOLA on Twitter, your Saints expert and credentialed member of the media. You can find me every day over at USA Today's Saints Wire, Tuesdays on Locked On NFL, and here with you every single Monday through Friday. Very glad to be here with you for yet another episode of Locked On Saints. Once again, it is your team every day, and we are overdoing it over here on the Locked On Saints podcast because we're getting you a lot of episodes every one of those days. Of course, the biggest news coming out of New Orleans Saints camp is the return of Michael Thomas, sort of shocking the NFL world after going on physically unable to perform list just last week, showing up day one, not only present for camp, but also participating. We'll kind of break down a bit about how that impacts New Orleans Saints going into 2022 and how he has the ability to change the outlook of the entire season for New Orleans. We'll also break down what it means to have Taysom Hill in his new role and how he changes the game for the Saints on offense. And we're also going to get to your questions from our live episode earlier today, leading off with a standout running back that maybe isn't the running back that you expected. But first, let's dive into more of this Michael Thomas talk, because boy, is there anything more exciting to talk about right now than the fact that Michael Thomas was out on that practice field today. And a lot of other folks were excited about it too. You're not just going to hear my excitement. Let's check in with Dennis Allen, who we spoke to after practice, to hear a little bit about how the process went along and how excited he is and what he feels Michael Thomas feels in his return to the football field.
I think he's excited. You know, I mean, that'd be a good question to ask him, you know, how he is emotionally, you know, but certainly I listen, Mike Thomas wants to be out here. He wants to help this team win games. And that's his whole mindset and his whole purpose. And he's extremely driven to be able to do that. And I think this was a good step in the right direction. So we still, we still got some things we got to get accomplished. But it was good to have him out here on the first day.
So you can hear that right away from head coach Dennis Allen that the New Orleans Saints very excited to have Michael Thomas out there. Michael Thomas, of course, himself, very excited to be out on the field. You heard him mention Michael Thomas wants to be on the field. He wants to help his team win. There were a lot of question marks around that from the fan base and even from analysts outside of New Orleans that were sort of looking at the sort of deterioration of the situation that took place between the organization and Michael Thomas, the delay in getting the surgery done, all of that. And so you saw a lot of sort of, I want to call it maybe a little bit of overreaction a bit, particularly from on the national scale, about what that meant for Michael Thomas and, you know, all the conversation around trading him away and all these other things that, like, many of us knew that was not going to happen. But, you know, it was a narrative that got pushed quite a bit. So I think Michael Thomas put a lot of doubters silenced a lot of doubters when it came to his return to the field on Wednesday. And, you know, just to kind of highlight what it was that maybe caused some of those question marks, right? The delay in the surgery, the offseason surgery that many expected would take place during that 2021 offseason. Michael Thomas was asked point blank about it by one of my Crescent City sports colleagues, Les East, who asked him, what was it that led to the delay in the surgery? And Michael Thomas, he didn't waste any time. He answered that question right up front.
Yeah, we could put it to us right now. It's pretty much like when you come into, when you go to a doctor, you get an opinion. A doctor is going to give you an opinion. You go to two doctors. One person has an opinion. Another person has an opinion. You have the right to pick an opinion. So one of the opinions is you can rehab your ankle and it should be good by camp. And I've never had surgery. And I'm going to stick with that one. If that one doesn't work, then we go with the second one. And that's pretty much how it works. I don't write the opinion. I just have to pick one.
Makes sense, right? Imagine going to a doctor and having one of them tell you that you need to have surgery. You go to another doctor and that doctor tells you you don't have to go and get surgery. Which doctor are you going to listen to? I'm going to go with the guy that tells me I don't have to get surgery. And then I'll address it if I need surgery later. So I just think that, you know, this is one of those situations where there was nothing malicious here between Michael Thomas and the organization. I think maybe the relationship soured a little bit throughout all of this, and you saw maybe a little bit of a withdrawal there. But for the most part, I mean, this wasn't something to where anybody gave up on anybody. And we saw that, right? Cody Burns going out to California to visit with Michael Thomas. Dennis Allen going and making a personal flight to go and visit with Michael Thomas as well. Michael Thomas reaching out to Chris Olave, bringing Chris Olave out to California to work out with him. All those things, like you saw olive branch after olive branch after olive branch, and you watch that relationship, whatever strain was put on it, probably after the fact, completely get mended over the course of the saw season. Big time kudos to Dennis Allen for doing that. And of course, Dennis Allen was extending those olive branches, much like quarterback Jameis Winston was extending olive branches to other players around the offense in terms of what he was looking at doing over the course of the offseason, getting some work in with him in Miami, getting some work in with him at the Saints facility, of course. But he didn't get an opportunity to bring Michael Thomas out there. So getting out there on the field with him day one of training camp certainly put a smile on his face.
Getting Mike Thomas out there today. Just, hey, look, you smile as soon as I said the name.
You know, like we got some people, Taysom, Mike T, who did an incredible job rehabbing it. They tail off to get back out here and be with us, and they showed out. Like, it's just good as a quarterback having weapons like that to help you win is a beautiful thing.
You heard my WWL colleague there, Doug Mouton, talking about how Michael Thomas's name just brought a smile to Jameis Winston's face. And you saw it there too. If you're watching over on the YouTube side, and if you're listening, I'm sure you heard it in his voice. Jameis Winston, very excited to be able to get Michael Thomas out on the field. Remember, that's a big change and a far departure from what Jameis Winston's sort of options at wide receiver was last year, right? He has Michael Thomas, Jarvis Landry, Chris Olave going into this season after throwing passes to guys like Deontay Hardy, Tre'Quan Smith, and Marquez Callaway. And that's no offense to those guys, but you just look at the draft status there, right? I mean, you look at all these like high draft selections, Michael Thomas being, you know, a second rounder, all of that. But then you look at the cast of characters that Jameis Winston had to throw to last year, and your highest drafted receiver was Tre'Quan Smith, and everybody was undrafted after that. So this is a big time change for Jameis Winston, and of course he's very excited about that. And this is huge for the New Orleans Saints, okay? The return of Michael Thomas doesn't just mean that this New Orleans Saints team will have more passing yards in 2022. It's not just that they're going to complete more passes or that they're going to move the chains with a greater proficiency. All of those things are true, but the Saints are going to win games because Michael Thomas is back. Make no mistake about it. And that doesn't require him to be 2019 record-breaking Michael Thomas again. No, that's not the point. The fact of the matter simply is getting Michael Thomas back out on the field means New Orleans Saints are going to win more games this year than they won last year without him. Now that's been a steady prediction for me from the very beginning. But now that you got Michael Thomas there, all of a sudden you're starting to hear the tone shift a little bit nationally as analysts, as experts, as pontificators look at the New Orleans Saints and say, okay, one of the big question marks that maybe they had is being answered right now with Michael Thomas. Now, Michael Thomas didn't participate in team drills. They'll start to work their way up to that. Dennis Allen alluded to that in the sound clip or the video clip that you saw or heard. So there's still more work to be done. There's still more progress to be done. But the impact of Michael Thomas being back on the field day one is going to have a lasting effect and a lasting presence all throughout that 2022 NFL season. And Michael Thomas wasn't the only one that returned from injury and got a shout out from Jameis Winston. You heard Jameis Winston also mention the return of Taysom Hill as well as another guy that kind of worked his butt off to get out on the field on Wednesday for day one of training camp. How does Taysom Hill's new role change what the New Orleans Saints are looking to do on offense? Let's break it down as we continue on with today's episode of Locked On Saints. Before we get to it though, I want to tell you about our friends over at Built Bar. You're talking about versatility when you talk about Taysom Hill. Is there any protein bar out there more versatile than Built Bar? 17, 18 grams of protein, but fantastic flavor. Low in sugar, low in calories, high in fiber. That's a whole lot of yes to me. Line up Built Bar wherever you want in terms of your daily snacking, right? You want it in the morning before you go on a workout, after a workout, around 3 p.m. when you start to hit that coffee crash. Built Bar has got you taken care of. And you know what? Right now they have a fantastic flavor. Delicious and indulgent cookie dough covered in 100% chocolate. That's right. Built Bar did it again. They're bringing back the cookie dough Built Bars. They're incredible. They're incredible. So go check them out right now. These are 160 calories, 15 grams of protein in all of that. And again, cookie dough sounds super sweet, but you're barely intaking any sugar when it comes to these. So you are going to love those new cookie dough chunk puff bars. And you can also go and check out the rest of the fantastic lineup over at built.com as well. Don't forget to use the promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at built.com. Once again, that is promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at built.com. All right, family, continuing on with today's episode of Locked On Saints, your team every day. Thank you, as always, for making Locked On Saints your first listen of the day every day. This is what episode? This is the third episode here on this Wednesday, day one of camp. We are not taking it easy. Just a reminder for programming, live shows after every practice. Tomorrow's going to be a little weird. I have a live TV hit pretty tight to practice, so I have to do that first and then come back to do the live show, but we'll still get the live show in, and then we have evening shows that will come out every night or the next morning that kind of focus in on specific observations. So we talked about the Michael Thomas observation, him being back, what it means for the New Orleans Saints, seeing some of the reactions from Dennis Allen, Michael Thomas himself, and then Jameis Winston. Now, let's speak a little bit on the impact that Taysom Hill brings and how he changes the game for the New Orleans Saints offense. I detailed in the live show earlier today a play in which there wasn't actually a completion. In fact, it was almost an interception. Andy Dalton underthrows Taysom Hill. Ball gets tipped up in the air, turns into a tip drill. CJ Gardner-Johnson almost gets it, but can't come down with it. Paulson Adebo also almost had an interception earlier. So it was a big defensive day throughout most of the second sort of phase of team drills. But the thing that you saw in that play, as well as several other times for Taysom Hill, who was a lead blocker at one point, who took snaps from all over the offense, and made some nice catches. He did have one drop during, I think it was just routes on air, if I remember correctly. But outside of that, I mean, anytime that he was in competition, basically, or he had anybody up in front of him, he was going full speed, full go, and getting that work in. So one of the things that you saw from that play that almost ended up in an interception, and Gus Kattengill from ESPN Radio and I talked about this earlier today too, it gives you this opportunity here to see how Taysom impacts a defense. Taysom was being guarded by a linebacker, pretty fast linebacker, and he won that matchup by a couple of steps. I mean, pretty considerably won that matchup coming from in line there at the tight end position. Andy Dalton underthrows him. I'm sure Andy Dalton's not used to throwing to Taysom Hill, right? This is really Taysom's first time out there in practice all off season. So he underthrows it, gets tipped up in the air, all of that. But the thing to keep in mind is that he won that matchup against the linebacker. He pulled the safety down because of winning that matchup too. So consider that in game. New Orleans ends up winning a mismatch there. It gets Taysom Hill lined up on a linebacker, right? Jameis can change a play or maybe change a little bit of a, you know, make some adjustments to make sure they can get the ball to Taysom Hill on that play, whatever it takes. They often call two plays in the huddle. So if you hear kill, 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 kill at the line of scrimmage, that's them going to the second play. Something like that could happen. All of a sudden, Taysom Hill has this matchup with a linebacker, which you're going to take 10 times out of 10 because Taysom Hill is faster than any linebacker. He's big enough to go toe-to-toe with a linebacker that tries to meet him, you know, within the first 5 yards. He's going to be big enough to overpower any type of safety as well, but he's also fast enough to beat some of those guys in DBs as well. So a lot of versatility, obviously, when you talk about Taysom Hill's game, a lot of reasons that he can win. So now you consider the fact that he can beat these linebackers in coverage, playing mostly from the tight end spot, which will be his big focus. He'll still get some quarterback snaps, but for the most part, he's focusing in at tight end. And keep in mind, too, he's actually in the tight end room now. He's effectively been playing in that role on a whim over the course of the past few seasons because he's majority been in the quarterback room. So now he's actually learning the position, and it's going to be a little bit more natural for him once he hits the field. So now consider this. Taysom Hill gets lined up. They get the mismatch that they want with the linebacker. He beats that linebacker. Okay, there you go. There's a passing option. Let's take it a step further. That happens. A safety sees that Taysom Hill just beat the linebacker. So he comes down to pick up Taysom Hill. And that opens up something in the intermediate level for Jarvis Landry or Chris Olave or Michael Thomas, right? Or you end up bringing Taysom Hill, who is guarded by a linebacker. You motion Taysom Hill out wide. If it's man-to-man coverage, that linebacker is going to follow him. That's one less player in the box. And all of a sudden you have an empty box to be able to run, or a lighter box to be able to run against with Alvin Kamara, Mark Ingram, Abram Smith, all of any of those, you know, whatever running back is out there at that time. So you can already see the wheels churning for a guy like Pete Carmichael and a guy like Dennis Allen And even for Jameis Winston and Taysom Hill, who are enjoying getting this opportunity to be able to work together in this capacity. Oh, and let's not forget, too, that simply put, you're going to end up opening up opportunities for other players by simply having another viable pass-catching threat out there in 2022. So again, this is a situation where we're not just talking about the Saints being a better passing team. We're not just talking about the Saints putting up more passing yards or completing a greater percentage of passes. We're talking about the Saints winning games because they have the weapons, they have the players that they need, particularly over on the defensive side. You already know that Cam Jordan, when he spoke with us after training camp, after day one, he ended up saying, like, I feel like this is a team with a defensive identity, and I love that. But it's not limited to that. This New Orleans Saints offense and the attention that Dennis Allen has put to it, the coaching staff, the conditioning with Matt Rhea, the personnel on the field, bringing in Jarvis Landry, making the adjustment with Taysom Hill, drafting Chris Olave, so on and so forth. All of that is going to lead to games won as long as this unit can gel. And what we saw day one is early. They only practiced for about 90 minutes. It was an abbreviated day. It wasn't a big day, but we did get to see some team drills and we did get to see a little bit of the communication starting to form, right? There's a lot of steps forward that are going to be taken between here and September 11th when the New Orleans Saints kick off their season against the Atlanta Falcons. They're far from done here. But to say that this New Orleans Saints team isn't going to be a threat in 2022 would just be willingly foolish. And Taysom Hill is going to be a huge part of that. All right, coming up next, y'all, we're going to wrap up today's episode with your questions, including the standout running back from training camp day one and why it wasn't the guy that I necessarily expected it would be. We'll break that down as we continue on to wrap up today's episode of Locked On Saints. Let's get it, Houdat Nation. Wrapping up today's episode of Locked On Saints with your questions from the Locked On Houdats that joined us during earlier today's live show. So remember, the way that we're going to be doing this is after each training camp session, we'll come back, we'll do a live show. Sometimes we'll do a live show from the facility as well. That'll be a lot of fun. And then we'll also take some questions during that to be able to get you some answers in the evening episode that will come out each night. So I want to start off with some of the questions that we got here, and I want to start off with a little bit of a group question here. Charles Como, Eric Howard, and a few others asked about Abram Smith, the New Orleans Saints undrafted free agent rookie running back out of Baylor. He played a little bit of linebacker, transitioned to running back, didn't get drafted, a little bit of an older prospect, only one real season of collegiate running back, but a very good season, 257 carries, over 1,600 yards, 12 rushing touchdowns during that time. Wanted to know how he looked, and I got a couple of questions about how Alvin Kamara and Mark Ingram looked. Here's what I'm going to tell you. Each running back had their moments. Mark Ingram had a really nice moment in the run game. Alvin Kamara had some really nice catches. I'll call it downfield. I'm not talking about like 50-yard bombs or anything like that. I'm talking like 20 yards, 15, 20 yards away from the line of scrimmage. Abram Smith, I'll be honest, did not have a big-time standout day, but it's only day one. And again, it was only a 90-minute practice. So again, it's a small sample size in terms of what we really got to see today in terms of team drills. But I will tell you this. The standout running back from day one is Divine Azigbo. Divine Azigbo had two pretty nice plays. He had one kind of little bit of a breakaway run that, you know, kind of broke open for him a little bit. And, you know, obviously you're going light on tackling and things like that throughout day one of training camp. Okay, we know that, right? These guys were in shorts. They were not in pads. But one of the ones that I really liked from him was a screenplay where he got loose. And a lot of it had to do with him selling play action first and then not really putting out there that, what's the word that I'm looking for in that situation? Not really projecting the fact that it was going to be a screen. So he was subtle, covert, did exactly what he needed to do, ended up catching the pass clean, and it was able to break outside to the left sideline and get downfield quite a bit. So for me, Divine Azigbo was actually the running back that stood out the most day one. Again, abbreviated practice, only one day. I'm hoping that we'll get to see more and more of Abram Smith, more and more of Malcolm Brown, who just signed to the Saints, who had a lot of great things to say about joining the New Orleans Saints organization and everything. We might use some of that sound later on this week. But man, if there's one standout out of that unit, that running back unit, it was Divine Azigbo, hands down. Next, I want to go to Ben Lozano, who asked, what's been the most glaring positive of camp so far? Anyone standing out already? Well, look, I'll tell you, the biggest positive to come out of camp so far is Michael Thomas participating day one, of course. But and sorry, I want to mention this. This feels so different, doesn't it? Doesn't this just feel different? Good news for the New Orleans Saints when it comes to injuries during camp, right? Usually we're a little bit used to maybe this guy being a little bit behind schedule, maybe this guy a little bit behind schedule, not necessarily where we expect him to be, all the other stuff. Now all of a sudden you've got Jameis Winston participating in OTAs at 7 months removed from an ACL injury. Michael Thomas going on the PUP list, but then participating just days later. Same thing with, you know, guys like Peyton Turner coming back and Taysom Hill being ready despite having a Lisfranc injury in the 18th week of the season last year, the last week of the season. So it just feels nice. And I wonder how much of this is the New Orleans Saints' new approach to sort of the shattering the status quo and going with a guy like Matt Rhea, who brings a little bit more of a state-of-the-art approach to health, to recovery, to conditioning and all. So I don't know. I don't know if he's had that much of an impact already, but certainly this feels different. So this is all good news for the New Orleans Saints. Outside of that, though, just to further answer your question about like anybody else standing out already, I would say that the receivers as a whole really did a good job standing out for me on Wednesday. Jarvis Landry, Chris Olave each had some pretty clean catches. We saw Chris Olave get involved in punt return, you know, fielding punts as well. The four guys that were fielding punts were all wide receivers. It was Deontay Hardy, Marquez Callaway, Aesop Winston, as well as Chris Olave. So, you know, you're just seeing the ways that these guys are going to be able to contribute all over the field and in different ways throughout practice and camp and all of this stuff. And like Chris Olave is probably not going to return punts during the regular season, but still cool to see that, like, oh, okay, there's an additional value to a guy with good hands, right? Which is really, really nice to see. So I think those would probably be the other big standouts. The other one that I'll mention over on the defensive side was Peyton Turner, defensive end. He had a couple of really good rushes. His swim move looked really good. He had a really nice rip move that we saw a couple of times, and it had one of them to where he just won off the line of scrimmage and immediately got what would have been a sack on Ian Book. So really nice stuff from Peyton Turner as well. Let's go to LaVontae Thomas. I'm excited to know how Marcus May, if Marcus May was a participant, and if so, how did he look? Marcus May did participate. He's another one of those players that's coming off of an injury. He had an Achilles injury coming back from that, already on the field day one of training camp. Again, very different in terms of what we're used to across the NFL. But he looked really good. He told me that he's very excited for what the New Orleans Saints are able to do over on defense, that the culture as well as the energy were the two big elements that stood out for him as being unique in this New Orleans Saints defense, that he's very excited about the multiplicity that is going to be asked of him. So he loves the idea of all the multiple roles that he'll be asked to do. He played majority deep safety and a base defense install for the day. Base defense means that, like, your standard, like, vanilla defense, three linebackers, four defensive backs, four down linemen, nothing special in terms of what you're doing there. But, you know, still getting an opportunity to get the early parts of the playbook under your belt. Let's go to George Alonso. My question is, do any of the special teams drills happen yet, or did any of the special teams drills happen yet? And if so, were there any rookies or UDFAs being put on first teams that surprised you? So yes, they did start up with some special teams drills. Let me tell you, Blake Gillikin still has a boot. That dude can punt. Will Lutz, I didn't count all or watch all of his field goal attempts. I did see a couple of misses, but, you know, he's getting back into rhythm and things like that. I believe I saw a couple of misses. You know, if the ball doesn't disappear behind the goalpost, then you assume it's a miss. But, you know, not necessarily anything or anybody that stood out in terms of their responsibilities there. But yeah, they did get started with those. And this New Orleans Saints team is going to very much be focusing on special teams. It's a unit that they care very much about, and that can take a little bit of a step forward from where it was last year for certain. And we'll wrap up here with Wayne Fontana that asked, I just want to know if Spoke Monday was out there. He was. He actually played a little bit of deep safety today. I believe he was playing with the second or third unit. I'm sorry, I can't remember which one it was. I want to say the second unit. But yeah, he was out there. You know, you see his versatility. You hear him out on the field as well. CJ Gardner-Johnson gets the loudest player of the day award, though, because he was all over the field jumping around. He is very happy to be out there. But Smoke Monday, not far behind him for sure. So you know the energy, the passion that these guys bring. Very important to this New Orleans Saints organization. And Smoke Monday looks like he's fitting in. And then you add the versatility on top of that. Fits in even more in this New Orleans Saints defensive scheme. So, all right, y'all, those are our kind of focus downs on some of the biggest stories that you needed to know from day one of training camp. We'll be back with you tomorrow with a live show after day two of training camp. Like I said, I've got a TV hit right after practice. I'll try to do something live from the facility tomorrow if I can, if there's nothing going on in the press room. So hopefully we'll be able to do that. Otherwise, it'll be a little bit later, the live show, maybe around 3 or something like that. So, but we'll be here. We'll get it done. And then we'll have an evening show for you, just like this one as well, where we can go a little bit more in depth, share some sound and video from the pressers and all that good stuff. So we'll continue to bring you at least two episodes a day as we continue on throughout New Orleans Saints training camp. But I cannot thank you enough for making Locked On Saints your first, second, third, fifth listen of the day, every day here throughout camp. Remember, it is your team every day. So I'm very, very grateful to be able to be here with you. For more around the NFL, Deebo Samuel making some big news, Julio Jones headed to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, everything going on around the NFL, check out that Locked On NFL podcast. There we go. Where you can get everything you need around the league in less than 30 minutes, wherever you get your podcast and on YouTube as well. I appreciate you as always making me a part of your day. If you see me, say hi. If you need anything else around these episodes, make sure you follow me on Twitter at Ross Jackson, NOLA. Hit me up. Let me know how the family's doing. Let me know how you're living. Let me know how your mom and them. And trust you, that nation, I'll holla at you.